foreigners who've never been to the land to occupy their homes.
Jacob, you know this is not your house.
Yes, but if I go, you don't go back. So what's the problem? What are you yelling at me? I didn't do this.
But you're
easy to yell at me, but I didn't do this.
Yeah, you are stealing my house.
And if I don't steal it, someone else is going
to
steal it.
No one is allowed to steal it, Yami.
Statements by Israeli officials that showed their intention to maintain permanent control over the expanding settlements were also noted in the reports and were part of the reason why the occupation was declared unlawful. Chair of the commission also recognized the direct and indirect transferring of Israelis into the settlements as a plan to ensure permanent Israeli control in the West Bank. The Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, including Al-Quds and in Israel. That is the name that the UN gave to the commission in May of 2021 when the UN Human Rights Council held a special session on the grave human rights situation in the Occupied Palestinian Territory. During the session, the UNHRC decided to establish an urgent international commission of inquiry to investigate alleged human rights violations in the occupied Palestinian territories at the hands of Israel. The recent report is the culmination of what the three-member council has found during the past year and a half in what seems to be an uncharacteristically direct accusation of Israeli human rights violation and breaking of international law. Let's take a quick look at some of the bullet points mentioned in the report. An allusion to the core principles of the UN on annexation, which Israel seems to have also agreed to, even though it has violated it. The existence of a settlement enterprise and the efforts to make settlement permanent, violating the rights of Palestinians who were forced to leave as settlers took their homes by force. Israelis' exploitation of land and natural resources, the restrictive urban planning and zoning policies that seize Palestinian construction as an impediment to settlements that result in frequent confiscation of land, demolition of homes, and eventually displacement. The silent harm and psychological trauma resulting from erosion of economic, social, and cultural rights of Palestinians in a coercive environment that fragments the Palestinian society. The necessity of international action as Israeli government's actions are seen by the Commission as criminal, particularly its direct and indirect transfer of civilian population into occupied and annexed territories. The report seems to be a step in the right direction for the UN to fulfill its sole responsibility of standing up for human rights violations globally. But whether or not the criminal accusations towards Israel will lead to an International Court of Justice investigation and trial remains to be seen, especially when Israel has the unwavering support of the US.
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
You are our true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab. Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said, "The one who dies and does not recognize the Imam of his time will actually die the death of an ignorant." But in this program, we try to provide you with the most information regarding the Imam of your time. Yes, this is the last savior. And today we're going to discuss the signs of the advent of Imam al-Zaman, Ajallah Ta'ala Faraja. And on that note, today in our studio, we have with us a very special guest. We have Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And we came to the conclusion that the signs are generally categorized into definite and indefinite signs, the certain signs and uncertain signs. And among these signs, five are definite signs and others are indefinite signs. Dr. Garimi, you distinguished the both and also discussed one of the very technical concepts of Bada. I would want you to start with the same concept. Explain it for our dear listeners. What is the concept of Bada and how the signs are categorized into these two categories on the basis of Bada?
Sure. As I mentioned in the previous program, this is an Islamic doctrine based on the verses of the Quran and the narrations, but because of a kind of misunderstanding, some people think that it is only a Shi'i doctrine.
Yeah.
Let me give you a very clear example. Before that, according to the verses of the Quran and the narrations, we have two tablets.
Yeah.
Two lawhs. One of them is the lawh, the tablet of al-mahw al-ithbat, and the other is al-lawh al-mahfuz, or the preserved tablet. And according to the verses of the Quran, the content of the preserved tablet is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else.
Yeah.
And the other tablet, which is for mahw al-ithbat, meaning that something is written and may be omitted and replaced, can be known by some people like the infallibles.
Okay.
And the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Now, the point is that this is mentioned in both Shi'i and Sunni collections of hadith. Imagine that, according to the narrations, a person is going to live for 30 years. Then he does Salatul Rahim, like visiting the kings and folk.
Okay.
And because of his or her good action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him or her another 30 years, for example, to live. So this is what we mean, a very simple and clear example of Bada, meaning that he or she was supposed to live only for 30 years.
All right.
And it was written in the tablet
Destiny.
Of Mahw al-Ithbat.
Okay.
Then something new was revealed to him, not to God. God knew that he will do Salatul Rahim.
Okay.
He acted upon Salatul Rahim, so
some more years were added to his life.
Her age was supposed to be 30 years in the tablet of Mahw al-Ithbat, but because of his good action, that is omitted, and 60 years is written, for example.
All right.
But already in the preserved tablet, it is written 60 years. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, but people do not know.
Okay.
This is what we mean by the concept of Bada. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may change some of the destiny, some of the events, because of the actions done by the people.
All right.
Now, the question is that, what about the alaim al-zuhur, the signs which are mentioned for the reappearance of
Imam Mahdi? Can Bada happen in them?
Yeah, is it possible for Bada? Because it makes a lot of difference.
All right.
So, for example, Yamani is known as one of the signs of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Is it possible for Bada to happen here, meaning that Imam Mahdi reappears without Yamani appearing?
All right.
And this is a very hot discussion. So before that, according to the famous understanding of Shia scholars, Bada may happen in the indefinite signs.
Not in the definite ones.
We'll talk about definite signs.
So this is
for sure.
This really needs a good explanation, and we'll ask you that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand year old morning.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. I'm with Dr. Karimia, and we are discussing about the signs of reappearance of Imam Mahdi, Atallah Atala Faraja. And here we have reached a very technical concept, the concept of Bada. Can Bada happen in the definite signs or in the indefinite signs only? Where can Bada happen? Dr. Karimia is explaining. Yes, doctor.
Sure. Let me just share one more point and then I will come to your question. The fact that we have these two categories of definite and indefinite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is not an innovation by Shia scholars.
Okay.
It's coming from the narrations. Let me share two narrations in this regard. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, إِنَّ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ أُمُورًا مَوْقُوفًا وَأُمُورًا مَحْتُومًا وَإِنَّ السُّفْيَانِي مِنَ الْمَحْتُومِ الَّذِي لَا بُدَّ مِنَ. Imam Baqir alayhi salam himself says that we have two categories. Some of them are conditioned, meaning that they are indefinite, and some of them they are definite. And Sufyani is one of the signs which are definite.
Okay.
So this category comes from the narrations, Al-Ghibya by Nu'mani, page 313. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is quoted as saying, مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مَحْتُومٌ وَمِنْ هُمَا لَيْسَ بِمَحْتُومٌ. Some of the issues, meaning that the signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, are definite and some of them are not definite. وَمِنَ الْمَحْتُومِ خُرُوجُ السُّفْيَانِ. And one of the definite signs is the revolt of Sufyani.
Okay.
In the month of Rajab, according to this narration. So my point was that the Shia scholars have taken these two categories from the narrations.
All right.
And the famous idea is that there are five definite signs, which inshallah we'll discuss. So for the indefinite signs, it is something for sure that Bada may happen.
All right.
And almost we do not have any disagreement regarding that among Shia scholars. And that is why, as I mentioned, people cannot refer to some narrations and resorting to them just to claim that this is for sure the sign of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and Imam is coming next week, for example.
All right.
Because first of all, these are indefinite signs. And second of all, Bada may happen.
Yes. And so all scholars, you're trying to say, agree over the fact that Bada can happen in the indefinite signs. There's no disagreement in this. All right.
So for example, a narration says that Imam Mahdi reappears after a solar eclipse in the midst of the holy month of Ramadan. Then the point is that Imam Mahdi may reappear without that event taking place.
All right.
Because Bada may happen and that eclipse does not happen.
All right.
But what about the definite ones?
True.
Is it possible for Bada to take place, to happen for the definite signs, which are according to the famous idea among the Shia scholars, we have only five signs, definite signs.
Okay.
We have a disagreement among Shia scholars here. The most famous idea, which I think this is the true answer to this question, is that no, Bada is not going to happen for the definite signs.
All right.
It is possible. You know, we have a technical term. One of them is imkan aqli, which means the rational possibility of them taking place. Yes,
right.
Rationally speaking, Bada is possible to happen, but is not going to happen based on the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
All right. We'll talk more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. Our Dr. Karimi and we are discussing the signs of reappearance. And now we have reached a point wherein we are saying, can Bada happen in definite signs? We discussed that Bada can happen in indefinite signs. Now Dr. Karimi is saying, can Bada take place in the definite signs as well?
So as I mentioned, the first viewpoint, which I believe is the true answer to this question, is that no. Bada will not happen in definite signs.
Okay.
Rationally speaking, it is possible to happen, but based on the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not happen.
Okay.
There are a couple of reasons for that. The first point is that when we refer to the narrations, we see, as I mentioned, I shared some of these narrations which distinguish between definite signs and indefinite signs.
Yeah.
For example, as I mentioned, As-Sufyani min al-Mahtum. The revolt of Sufyani is one of the definite signs.
Okay.
So what is the reason that the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, they have distinguished between these two categories? The main reason is Bada, because if Bada is going to happen for definite signs, then there is no difference between the definite signs and indefinite signs.
We don't have definite and indefinite. Yeah. We have all signs as indefinite.
Yeah,
or
all of them are indefinite because Bada may happen.
Okay.
So when the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, they have distinguished between Mahtum, definite signs, and Ghayru Mahtum or Mawquf, indefinite signs, it means that Bada is not going to happen for
definite
signs.
For the definite ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, there is no difference. For example, Abu Hamza Thumali quotes Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam as saying, إن خروج السفياني من الأمر المحتوم. The revolt of Sufyani is one of the definite signs.
Okay.
And also قتل النفس الزكية من المحتوم. When they are using this term من المحتوم, which means one of the definite signs, it means that it is different from indefinite signs.
Okay.
Which means that it cannot be changed through Bada. And that is the main reason for putting these signs into two categories.
Okay.
The other explanation and the other reason for this viewpoint is that the reasons that the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, they have mentioned some signs for the people, for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, is for the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt to lead the people.
All right.
Because they knew that in Akhir Zaman, in end of the times, some people might be astonished whether this claimant is the true Mahdi or not. So they have mentioned some signs so that people need to see those signs and then look for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So before the signs, they should not, search for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
All right.
So one of the philosophies for mentioning these signs is for guiding the people.
Okay.
Now, the point is that if all the signs, including the definite signs, are going to be changed because of Bada, then people are not going to be guided. Because if Bada is going to happen, it means that we may not have any sign for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, because Bada may happen for all of them.
Yeah.
So in that case, there is no point in the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt mentioning any sign, because all of them might be changed because of Bada. So when the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, they have mentioned some signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, it requires that at least the definite signs will happen and there is no Bada regarding them. Otherwise, na'udhu billah, the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt in this regard are useless, because Bada may happen for all of them. So because of the fact that we believe in the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and the fact that they have mentioned all these narrations to guide the people, we believe that Bada may not happen in the definite signs. This is
all
the
right.
Famous viewpoint among the Shia scholars. There is another viewpoint which claims that Bada may happen even in definite signs.
We will discuss that in another session. If Bada can happen in definite signs, the viewpoints. Thank you so much, Dr. Karimi, for being with us. I would want to tell you that we have had some texts from the Holland who were thanking you, who are making notes from your lectures. Thank you so much for providing such an intellectual discussion here with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners, and you too. Keep on making notes, because this is the program that's going to provide you with the utmost information regarding the Imam of your time. Thank you so much for listening to us. Thank you so much for being with us. Until another session, fi amanallah. God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
A very hard winter is finally showing up in Britain. Soaring inflation and high cost of living are the most important issues for British households today. A survey by the Financial Conduct Authority, FCA, laid bare the impact of the cost of living crisis, saying about one in four of adults in the UK, that is about 24%, were either in financial difficulty or would fall into trouble if they suffered a financial shock. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of RT wrote, nearly 32 million people, or 60% of UK adults, are finding it a heavy burden or somewhat of a burden to pay their bills. A survey by the Financial Conduct Authority, FCA, showed recently. According to the research, which was carried out between February and June, the total was up 6 million from 2020, when the economy went into lockdown to fight the coronavirus pandemic. The report said, noting that 4.2 million people have missed bills or loan payments in at least 3 of the 6 months before the survey took place, one in four UK adults are in financial difficulty or could quickly find themselves in difficulty if they suffered a financial shock. It also found that people living in the most deprived areas of the UK are nearly 7 times as likely to be in financial difficulty compared to those living in the least deprived areas. The watchdog said that 12% of people in Northeast and 10% in the Northwest are in financial difficulty, while 6% of people in Southeast and Southwest are in the same position. According to the report, the FCA has issued a reminder to banks on how to support customers in financial difficulty, encouraging them to contact providers in the first instance to discuss options. The financial regulatory body operating independently of the UK government says that the survey is the largest of its kind, having conducted interviews with more than 19,000 people. Also, Guardian wrote, millions of people in the UK are struggling to pay their bills, according to the City Watchdog, which said a growing proportion of the population is having trouble making ends meet. A survey by the Financial Conduct Authority, FCA, laid bare the impact of the cost of living crisis, saying about one in four of adults in the UK were either in financial difficulty or would fall into trouble if they suffered a financial shock. The FCA found that about 7.8 million people were finding it a heavy burden to keep up with their bills, an increase of about 2.5 million people since 2020. as wage growth failed to keep pace with soaring inflation at 40-year highs, currently at 10.1%. Meanwhile, 4.2 million people had missed bills or loan payments in the 6 months before the survey took place, in the 4 months between February and June. The financial challenges were concentrated in more deprived areas across the UK, with people in economically challenged regions roughly 7 times more likely to be in financial difficulty than their peers. About 12% of people in the northeast and 10% in northwest were struggling financially, compared with 6% of people in the southeast and southwest. The statistics were gathered as part of the FCA's Financial Lives Survey, which polled more than 19,000 people and will be published in full in early 2023. The government is believed to be considering raising benefits in line with wage growth of 5.5% rather than inflation, which would put further pressure on already struggling households. The Resolution Foundation think tank has said it would start consequences for families with a single disabled adult on universal credit likely to lose £380, while a working single parent with one child would lose £478 a year. A working couple with three children would lose £978. Sheldon Mills, a director overseeing consumer and competition issues at the FCA, said, "Our research shows that people up and down the country are struggling to keep up with their bills. If you're facing financial difficulty, you do not need to struggle alone. There is free debt advice available, and we have told firms they must work with their customers to solve any problems with payments."
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, factors of disclosing secrets. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the factors of disclosing the secrets of others. We know that Islam gives importance to the secrets and it stops us from spying someone. The only case which is allowed is where you need to prevent your country, your state from the enemies. But otherwise, it is forbidden to spy on the believers, to go after them. Now, there are some factors which are causes of disclosing the secrets amongst the people. And obviously, we must be careful when we are living, when we are socializing with the people. The first factor is when someone is so much talkative. If someone is so much talkative, obviously, he talks about everything. He loves to talk, and always he can never be like, you know, sit silent. So he always wants something to talk about. And therefore, if he knows a secret, we generally have seen that such people, because of their being talkative, they have leaked the secrets of the others. And it was resulted the humiliation of the others. So therefore, we must avoid such people. We must avoid telling the secrets to such people who are so much talkative. The second factor is when someone is inferiority complex. When someone is in inferiority complex, or he has the inferiority complex. If someone has such a complex, obviously, then because he lacks something, on the other hand, he knew about the secrets of the other, therefore he wants to use those secrets for himself. When someone is sitting somewhere and he is feeling inferiority, then obviously what they do is they start leaking the secrets of the others, and this is not good. So we must avoid these things, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of the factors of leaking the secrets of the others. So we mentioned a couple of factors. Now, we want to talk about other factors. One of the factors can be that when someone is angry upon someone and he is so much, we can say like he is emotional. So in those emotions and being angry upon someone, this can cause the leak of a secret that we know from someone. Maybe we want to get empty from what we have, or maybe like the anger that we have, and it is so much that in that anger we might leak. Therefore, we must avoid such things. The very important thing in today's world, the time in which we are living, that is the obviously the communication equipments. These communication equipments, I don't know, the applications, mobile phone, the tablet, maybe the wireless things that we have, all these things are such things that can cause the leak of some, you know, secrets. Even if I'm living in my personal life, maybe I'm sharing my pictures on the Instagram to my family, maybe my Facebook is open and I have just my family members added on the Facebook. But since it is open, we have seen that it has been showed in different programs. It has been showed on the TV, on the newspaper, maybe over the internet. It is said that there are some people, there are some bad people that who are after your data, and they can access to your computer, to your mobile phone, to your tablet, to your phone, and they're recording your personal pictures, maybe. They're recording your life, they're recording the things that you do not want, and later they're using it against you. Therefore, we must be careful when we are using these communication tools in our life, that we limit the use of them. Maybe when we are in the family, we leave the phone on a side. Maybe when we are on the laptop, so we take care of covering the camera, maybe, or the other things. Obviously, there are different ways the people know it better. But obviously, in today's world, it is very important to be careful if we want to have a peaceful life, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
No matter West likes it or not, China-Russia trade saw a significant growth in September. According to reports, the total import and export volume between the two countries reached $18.65 billion. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of RT wrote, the two nations, Russia and China, have significantly strengthened economic cooperation this year. Official data shows the volume of trade between Russia and China has continued to grow, hitting $136 billion in the first 9 months of this year, the National Bureau of Statistics of China reported recently. According to their data, bilateral economic cooperation surged by 32.5% year-on-year during the period. Chinese exports to Russia were up 10.3% in January-September to $52.24 billion, while imports of Russian goods and services soared by 51.6% to $83.84 billion. The report indicated that crude oil, natural gas, and coal accounted for about 70% in the value of Russian exports to China. Other key items included copper and copper ore, lumber, fuel, and seafood. As for Chinese exports to Russia, a significant share was taken by smartphones, industrial and specialized equipment, toys, foodware, vehicles, air conditioners, and computers. Last month, Russian President Vladimir Putin hailed the strong economic ties between the two countries, pointing out that in 2021, Russia-China trade turnover reached a record-breaking $146 billion. In August, Beijing's ambassador to Moscow expressed hope that bilateral trade could reach $200 billion target this year. He noted that economic cooperation between the two nations shows excellent results and sustainable development despite the challenges associated with the COVID-19 pandemic, the global economic downturn, and difficult international and regional situations. Reuters wrote, China's exports to sanctions hit Russia rose at a double-digit pace for the third consecutive month in September, bucking the trend of weakening external demand elsewhere amid the Russia-Ukraine crisis and a global economic slowdown. Reuters calculations based on Chinese customs data showed shipments of Chinese goods to Russia rose 21.2% from a year earlier in dollar terms, slowing from a 26.5% increase in August, yet outperforming China's overall export growth of 5.7% by a large margin, as interest rate hikes to curb red-hot inflation in major economies weakened demand for Chinese goods. Top exports to Russia included smartphones, generator sets, excavators, and containers. Imports from Russia jumped 55.2% compared with a 59.3% increase in August, partly driven by a 22.1% annual rise in oil imports, the customer's data showed. Oil supplies from Russia totaled 7.46 million tons, equivalent to 1.82 million barrels per day, compared with 1.96 million BPD in August. As Western nations have shunned Russia, cooperation with Beijing has become increasingly important for Moscow. Bilateral trade has surged to $136.9 billion in value in the first 9 months, up 32.5%. A According to Global Times, China-Russia trade saw a significant growth in September, with the total import and export volume reaching $18.65 billion, a year-on-year increase of 27.8%, according to data published by the General Administration of Customs, maintaining a strong growth momentum despite external challenges. Experts said the strong trade between the two countries mirrors the fact that there is a growing complementarity under free trade arrangements, which benefit both countries, ranging from energy to food, as China and Russia carry out normal economic and trade cooperation on the basis of mutual respect, equality, and mutual benefit. In September alone, China's exports to Russia amounted $7.99 billion, up 17.48% year-on-year, while China's imports came to $10.65 billion, rising by 35.55%. From January to September, China-Russia trade reached $136.8 billion, a year-on-year increase of 32.5%, with both imports and exports sustaining double-digit growth based on China customs data. Energy, bulk commodities, and agricultural food have been the main drive for the growth. The continuous expansion of China-Russia trade once again reflects the strong relationship between the two countries, experts said. For example, China's auto exports to Russia have increased significantly, filling the vacancy left by European and American firms as they quit the Russian market due to the political-driven factors. Song Kuo, president of the Contemporary China-Russia Regional Economy Research Institute, told the Global Times. In 2020, China became the largest export market for Russian agricultural products and meat, and experts predicted that the trend was set to continue. The energy trade has gained a rising foothold in the bilateral trade, as Russia is placing more focus on the East in terms of energy supplies expansion driven by the West sanctions. Gazprom president Alexey Miller said Gazprom has been increasing gas supplies to China via the Power of Siberia gas pipeline, increasing volume by 60% in the first 8 months of 2022, according to media reports. With the implementation of the project, gas supply to China is set to increase every year, reaching a designed annual gas transmission volume of 38 billion cubic meters by 2025. While risks linked to the U.S. dollar exchange rate are mounting, China and Russia have facilitated their own currency settlement, which has greatly assisted in trade and advances the internationalization of the yuan, Song told the Global Times recently. In addition, the improvement of the infrastructure cooperation between China and Russia, including the opening to traffic of the first China-Russia highway bridge, which stretches from Hech, a border city in northeast China's Heilongjiang province, to the Russian city of Blagoveshchensk, spanning the river in June, has boosted the flow of trade. Song said China's economic development and huge market demand requires adequate, stable, and diversified energy supplies, while Russia needs capitals and a reliable market to support economic and trade growth, which is a win-win outcome for the both sides. Song said that Russia-China trade will maintain accelerated growth momentum, which is the result of the natural demand growth of the market economy and free trade.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Faith based on understanding. Saturday, the 4th of Ramadan, 1394, 21st of September, 1974. Our Lord, forgive us, pardon us. Our Lord, we want only your reward and your forgiveness and nothing else. And toward you is the return. We are going back to you. There are many important things to said about returning to Allah that we will, inshallah, explain in the series of lectures when we come to the topic of the resurrection in the Quran, if Allah grants us the opportunity until then. So what have we understood from these verses so far? First, that faith and belief are two qualities possessed by those who answered the call to submit to Allah. Those people who have no faith, who have no belief, who just followed everyone else to be on the safe side, they are not within the domain of Islamic thought. There is no shame in saying so, because faith is necessary. Faith means belief, to accept what is clearly and unimpeachably true. It means attaching oneself to a cause. If this cause is not the thought of the religion and the Quran, and your heart will not be subdued, meaning if there is no faith in this heart, then this heart is a dead heart. It does not live in the light of Islam. It can never be called a submitting heart, a Muslim heart. Therefore, faith is necessary. This is first.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Second is that faith is of two varieties. There is the faith of those who blindly follow because they have a tribal mentality. Their fathers and grandfathers believed, so they believe as well. Because our holy scripture says this, because our religion says this, we say the same. And even if you bring them evidence to the contrary, they will never listen to you. This is one kind of faith or belief. But even this has two kinds. There are those who blindly follow, taqlid, like most people today. Such that if you ask them, how do you know that the Prophet of Islam was true? They have no idea what to say. They don't know anything. Their forefathers said so. Their school teachers said so. The people they see in the streets and markets says so. So if all of these tell them that the Prophet was true, they will say so as well. Now, they believe, they really do believe that the Prophet was true, but this is just something they heard from someone who they trusted and blindly accepted without checking for themselves. Similar to the belief of those who blindly follow is the belief of those who follow tribally, ta'assub. Some of these people are ready, may Allah protect us, to insult other prophets to please our Prophet. They think that these prophets are fighting one another in the heavens.
You've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Iruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
During his first speech as British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak used the occasion to issue a call for unity. Sunak must find a way to quickly unite not just a bitterly divided Conservative Party, but also a deeply troubled nation. However, he also issued warnings of difficult times ahead.
I will place economic stability and confidence at the heart of this government's agenda. This will mean difficult decisions to come.
The Prime Minister has inherited a country in crisis. Energy prices are high, cost of living through the roof, and millions of Brits are expected to struggle this winter. Another worry for Sunak, Conservative Party popularity has plummeted in recent months, sitting approximately 30 points behind the opposition Labour Party. Sunak's supporters say he's economically experienced from his days as Chancellor, and praised Sunak as Britain's youngest leader in 200 years and the first ever non-white leader. But his critics claim that's just not enough.
He definitely has the credentials. He definitely has the experience, been there in the, as Chancellor before. But again, we need to understand, you know, where does he sit right here, right now, with everyday voters? He has not been elected by the people. As well as most people feel that he cannot resonate with the ones that are struggling. I'm not sure if it is real representation for anyone of a minority background, especially when he comes from a very, very elitist club, and he does not really represent many. He's probably top 1% of majority of brown people or Asians, whatever you want to call it, in the entire world. So it's very difficult to sort of resonate and feel sort of close in that way.
Many challenges lie ahead for the new Prime Minister, in particular how he's going to overcome Britain's many economic crises. However, even if he does find a way to overcome Britain's economic woes, question marks still remain surrounding if he has what it takes to win the Conservatives the next general election. Robert Carter, London.
NGC 23 is a remote galaxy which is more than 200 million light-years away from Earth. What's even more interesting is that the interstellar object was observed by none of the celebrity telescopes like James Webb, but by a new indigenous Iranian observatory called INO, short for Iranian National Observatory, marking a milestone in the country's quest for deep space.
Within 3 weeks ago,
which we got the first light, the so-called first light, we had no idea about the quality of the image we are going to get, and it was excellent.
Another debut image shot by the 3.4-meter optical telescope is ARP-282, an interacting galaxy pair located approximately 320 million light-years away. Scientists at the Iranian National Observatory say their telescope could see objects as far as 7 billion light-years away.
Of course, we can use this telescope to observe even deeper objects, but the highest quality of this telescope can be achieved up to 7 billion light-years away from us.
INO is built on Mount Gargash, north of the city of Isfahan, at a height of 3,600 meters above sea level. The project was initiated about 15 years ago, aiming at the development of a medium-class telescope to provide a research facility for national users.
In the next coming months, and especially in the next year, the telescope will be delivered to the astronomers as the end user of this expensive and complex instrument.
Constructing INO was the result of complicated scientific and technological efforts, but there was even a tougher challenge, U.S. sanctions. The anti-Iran measures block high-tech imports and access to foreign know-how. The Iranian team purchased the glass mirror blanks from a German firm, but then had to figure out how to construct nearly everything else on their own.
Due to U.S. sanctions and some financial problems, they cut their relation with us, and we did the rest of project within last 12 years by ourselves.
INO is still not fully developed. Engineers need to integrate software, fine-tune the active optics, and install the first science instrument, a high-resolution imaging camera. Once completed, the telescope will help scientists understand galaxy formation and stellar evolution and hunt for exoplanets. With INO, Iran has marked its first giant leap in space exploration and has fairly entered the world space race. The telescope's builders are now thrilled to announce that they will soon release more stunning images of deep space, hoping to help the world catch a glimpse of the wonders of our universe. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Thousands of mourners took to the streets of Nablus in the occupied West Bank to bid farewell to Palestinians killed by Israeli forces. Early Tuesday, clashes broke out between Palestinian fighters and Israeli forces after regime forces conducted a raid in Nablus. Several Palestinians were killed in the raid. Among the victims was Wadi Hawah, a fighter for the newly formed resistance group Lion's Den. 21 other Palestinians were also wounded in the attack, some of them in critical condition.
Those Palestinian young men will not be defeated by the Israeli war machinery. The Israeli occupation will pay a high price for its crimes. The response will be in the field. The flag of Wadi Hawa and other martyrs will continue flying every day, and more Palestinian heroes will be born.
The Israeli army said it had carried out a vast operation with police and intelligence officers targeting a site used by the main operatives of the Lion's Den, describing it as a headquarters and a workshop for making weapons. Later on Tuesday, regime forces conducted another attack near Ramallah and killed one more Palestinian man. 19-year-old Qusay At-Tamimi was killed during a confrontation in the village of Nabi Saleh. Palestinian officials have condemned the raids as vicious and criminal, but they said such attacks will not break the will of the Palestinian people, who are adherent to resistance as their legitimate right.
Their attacks on Palestinians in Nablus and in Ramallah and in other places will not break the Palestinian will. It will not stop the Palestinian resistance. The Palestinians have understood very clearly that Israel understands only the language of force, and that's why they are ready to defend themselves and defend their rights.
All the Palestinians are in the same tunnel, facing the same atrocities, while the same war crimes are being committed all over the Palestinian territories. The Palestinians are unified through different forms of resistance.
Since the beginning of this year, over 130 Palestinians have been killed in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds. The Israeli regime threatens to continue killing Palestinian resistance fighters under the pretext of battling terrorism. Palestinians, however, say they will remain steadfast in their resolve, stressing that the Israeli atrocities will not stop their resistance. Mona Qandil, Occupy Ramallah.
The 18th General Assembly of the Organization of Asia-Pacific News Agencies gathered up members of the media entity in Tehran to discuss new trends in news production and explore areas of cooperation between its members.